Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Today, we are here to take your calls for psychic readings and also to discuss shifting energy fields. So welcome to the show, everybody. We are going to get started in just a moment, but a few announcements, the typical announcements. Please, please do follow us, callers and listeners. On our sites, on Blog Talk Radio, follow our show, join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Also, want to let listeners know the number for the day, 914-338-0164, the call-in number for the day. Well, it's always the call-in number, but this is the call-in number. And if you'd like to speak with us, again, 914-338-0164. And you do need to press 1 to raise your hand so we can see that you would like a reading. So do press 1 when you call. Ah, what else? 562-596-7818 is the number to call if you would like to speak with Neil, and the radio show cannot accommodate your question. There is one question per caller, so if there's more questions, please do call that number after the show. And I think that's it. So,
okay.
On the last show, we were discussing shifting energy fields, and I think at you know, it was a little bit jumbled on Saturday. We did our show. So I wanted to just kind of recap. We were talking about the difference between manifesting a positive energy versus preventing something negative from happening. Also, we were talking about the specifics of getting into energy fields in terms of and manifesting beyond just saying a mantra, for instance, that really it takes an understanding of the subtle layers of energy to actually try and shift energy. It's not just something you can approach on a physical level.
No, you can't. And everything has a double and really innuendo in it. So the first rule of thumb is when you're concentrating on changing an energy field, you start first with breath. Now, our breathing has different definitions. We breathe just according to our rhythm of life. We breathe in, breathe out. We don't even think about it. We do it normally, and we do it 24/7. So we're constantly breathing. That's more or less physical breath. Physical breath also occupies when we're scared, or anxious, or happy. That's still the physicality of breath because it connects basically to our body. Now, when we get into more higher elements of what breath means, the next stage of what breath is when we really start to focus and concentrate on something we want. So when we're determined, we take a different kind of breath. This is all about shifting energy fields. So let's say we're going to do something in athletics. We're going to shoot a basket, or we're going to dive off a diving board. We take that breath of determination, and then we go forward. That's still physical body breath. If we're trying to seek a goal, and we're going to talk to a boyfriend or a girlfriend over a certain situation or introduction, we're going to talk to our boss behind a closed door over a certain job situation. Whenever we're determined to do something of a higher ranking, if you will, that's still, we take a breath, that's still physical breath. That's still the body breath. Now, when we get into the idea of meditation and yoga, now we're starting to shift gears. Now we're starting to shift energy fields. And our breath is not connected so much to something we want. It's not connected so much to just the survival, the biological premise of life. It's not determined by something or in a relationship or in a job or something like that. Now we're dealing deeper and going deeper into the body, and we're promoting the breath by way of spiritual awareness. We want to connect to something other than just the planet. Oh, sure, maybe we want to be at one with the planet and be at one with nature and all, but still we're going into a different area of breathing with a different type of consciousness behind it. Now, that's when we begin to change and shift energy fields most dramatically from the body to the spirit.
Right, and we talk about the third eye and breath a lot on the show. So this is connected to that third eye breath.
The third eye, yes. Well, the third eye, first of all, the third eye is like a projector and the visualization is like the screen. So when you're talking about the third eye, you're basically not just thinking of a mental dimension, but a sightly dimension. You're thinking of visualizing something. That visualization becomes so predominant in your mind that you actually can see projected a picture. Now, you don't see it in the physical realm. You see it in the etheric or mental realm, however you want to define it. But that's where we start to switch the mechanism there. And we're getting into now the area of turning the third eye on, which is the light of consciousness. The third eye, our physical eyes, is the light of the physical world. Our third eye is the light of consciousness, which again is a indication that we're shifting energy fields. So the third eye, visualizing something, content is thought. We visualize a thought behind it. And it's either a physical thought, we're trying to visualize something we want according to the planet, or it's a spiritual thought. We're visualizing something on a higher dimensional energy that would regard spirit, heaven, the universe, whatever you want to call it, cosmic energy, connecting with God, with your Buddha. It doesn't matter. That's the physical. That's the spiritual energy of the third eye. You don't even need your physical eyes for that, and you don't need your physical breath for that. Well, you're going to be breathing, but you don't need your physical breath for that. You need your mystical, higher dimensional, etheric breath, which is, again, operated on the premise that you're dealing with a higher consciousness, putting the breath into a different gear, a different mode, and then accentuating it with the third eye as a visual steering wheel towards your destination.
So what are the other components that can, I mean, this is great. So activating the third eye, activating that higher consciousness, connecting to the spirit realm, but there are other factors that can interfere with process. Karma, for instance, the limitations of karma in opening the third eye. Attitude, negative thoughts. How do we deal with those and try to, you know, actualize the highest essence of this?
Well, that's a good point, and it's a valid point. And yes, well, you have to understand that if you're going to shift gears, you have to shift consciousness. So if you're dealing with attitude, you have to release the world. You have to clear your mind of the world and connect to your soul and your spirit, which is imprisoned in the world, but wants to be released from the world ultimately. So first of all, the attitude. And the attitude is belief and faith, not thinking it's ridiculous. Formulating a zone in your brain where you can temporarily, at least, let go of all your concerns, all your desires, all of your wants, all of your fears, and get into that element of pure breath ratio to existence. Breath to existence. Breath to existence. You exist. You don't exist because you want something. You don't exist because you need something. You exist because you what? Exist. Zero equals zero. There's nothing more to it than that absolute essence of breathing with the formation of your in your mind that you're existing. Now, of course, we can't do this all day long unless, you know, we're in a Buddha mode or something and we're living on a mountaintop.
Right.
And
or
we have nothing to worry
about.
Some
kind of retreat, temporary.
So, you know, let's give life a little bit of a break here. Of course, you can't go on like this all the time, but you want to refuel. You don't drink water all day long, and you don't think consciously about the spiritual breath all day long. So that's one thing. Now, karma is another complication.
Right, because we are limited by our karma to some extent. I mean, some people have more potential for expansion in their life than others. Some people, you know, can do it individually. Some people may be limited on their own, but if they connect with another person, they have a more more potential to achieve and transcend.
Yeah.
So on both levels, physical and spiritual.
How do we deal with karma when it's so overpowering? If we do subscribe to the idea that there is such a state of energy called karma, and how we clearly.
Yeah. Some people say there's no karma. I mean, that's a lot of spiritual teachers don't believe there's karma.
Well,
but,
then,
you know,
then
come
we
from
can
a different,
say consequences. We can say good things happen, bad things happen. Whatever you want to call it. I don't care what letters you use to arrange a word from the alphabet. Let's just call it a state of being. And if your state of being is such that you are bombarded by the concerns of the world, because for let's not argue about it. We'll just use the word karma as a stand-in. If you're thinking about karma, you're really thinking about the world. Now, karma extends beyond our immediate breath, meaning from the day we're born to the day we die. Karma extends backwards into our past lives.
Past lives. So that's, I mean, obviously the reason why we keep returning to the planet is to resolve karma. So
yes.
It carries into our astral journeys between lifetimes.
Yes. And then, for want of a better word and metaphor, and then we have our intermissions between lifetimes, where our soul can reduce karma, increase karma, work on the astral plane with karma, visit guides and spirits, go to classrooms in the etheric realm. These things are there. They're there. And so that can be part of the change in energy fields as to how we move our karma around. Now, some people may say, well, you know what? I don't know what I did in past life. I do believe in karma. I do believe in spiritual breathing, but I don't know what I did in the past life, and I surely don't know what I did between past lives. So what do I do with that? Well, what you have to do with that is take the concept of your breath and just imagine, if you will, through the use of the third eye, imagine, make it up. Maybe you had past lives. Imagine different times of our history, just for fun. What are you attracted to? What draws you about history? What parts of the world intrigue you? Does outer space intrigue you? What dreams have you had that you can investigate and explore? Have you ever had anything surreal happen to you? Have you ever composed a picture that seemed to come out of some fantasy world? So just your brain, the pineal gland, we're equipped with imagination. We have it in us to imagine. Imagine. John Lennon, imagine. But we don't just have to imagine the world and its social conditions. We can imagine the cosmos and the expanding theory that life is beyond our planet, that the true essence of existence is something beyond the ceiling of our earthly atmosphere and even beyond the ceiling of our solar system, that there is something far-reaching out there that our soul has a capability of tapping into while we're in the body. And so if we're in that, imagine how we can eliminate karma through the sheer exercise of appreciating existence. Then our worries are somewhat washed away. It doesn't mean we're not responsible or grounded. I do believe in grounding, and I do believe in the chakra system. So we can do it that way. However, that doesn't mean that we are confined by our
body. Physical body. That's a great point.
So, you know, and so in the shifting of gears, which is this is just introductory babble that we're doing about it, because it's nothing. Our dialogue, you have to start somewhere, and we have this crude instrument of the tongue. And
limitations of time, obviously, on the show.
And just words. We're using words, but words are concepts. Concepts are emotions. Emotions are lead to enlightenment and curiosity. So I think these are the things that help to shift the energy gears, you know, in this little bit of time that we have to discuss it.
Okay, let's bring on our first caller here. 40. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Who's this?
This is Diane.
Hey, Diane. Diane, where are you calling from?
I'm in Nebraska.
Nebraska, and I think we've spoken with you before, have we? Or no?
Yeah, it's been a few months.
What's your birth date again? Because I don't remember it.
3/24/62.
I felt that 8. Okay, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, and 8. 27. 7, 9. Okay, Diane, what's going on?
Well, for some reason, I'm feeling a very strong calling to move to another city. Not sure what city yet, but I'm in the process of starting to get things together for that. And just any insights you might be able to share regarding that move would be greatly appreciated.
And are you planning on moving in the immediate vicinity of, I mean, within the state, or are you thinking of moving further out?
No, I have a feeling that I'll be moving out of state somewhere to another time zone. Right now, I'm feeling kind of a call. It alternates kind of between beach and mountains. Today, I'm kind of feeling a pull to go south, somewhere warmer.
Okay.
Well, some of the birds continue to do that, too. But here's the thing, Diane. Your karma, you know, you had a karma at 27 years old. All right. So you have a karma. Your master number is 9. You have a karma at the age of 27. Now, guess what? You're 54. That's another cycle of 27 years. So it's been 27 years plus another 27 years, and you want to move. Well, no surprise. No surprise at all that you want to move. Now, you're 54 years old. Now, listen to this very closely. Your first three numbers are 3, 2, 4. 3 and 2 is 5. With a 4 left over, there's your age.
Okay.
So you want to... Not only that, but here's another trick of the trade. Your first is the 3 of the month. Your last is the 2 of the year. 3 and 2 is 5. The difference between 6 and 2 is 4. Now we have another 54. Just a little bit of math agility there. Nothing much. First grade math. So, but in terms of algebraic equation, because algebra has a nice form of duality within it. F plus and minus, karma and transcendence, however you want to relate it, you're at a time of change in your life. So this would be significant. Now, point 2, you have 6 in your year, which is the third eye. And that third eye, as it moves down to 2, which is the energy of sexuality, but also creation and movement and all that, the difference between 6 and 2 is 4, which is you're trying to obtain balance. You already have a yin and yang going on because you don't know if you want the mountain or the beach or the beach. So you've got all these dualities going on. But the bottom line, Diane, is you're going to be moving. You're moving.
Okay.
Now, how do we explore that? Well, listen, you know, you look at the territory. What am I about? Where's my zone about water? My feminine zone about water? Am I going to my femininity of energy or the land, the mountains? My masculinity.
3, 4.
What part of
is that what
my,
you're referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, land, she says beach or water, mountains. Water is more feminine.
Right. Well, and it's in her karma. Water and the earth.
3, that's right.
And separated by that,
oh,
too.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
So, that you know, you have to look at, well, first of all, you can exert some control over this by saying, am I trying to find a female energy about myself now? That, you know, we're female, male psyche. Do you want to explore deeply your femininity, your mystery, your mysticism? Or are you more into a practical state of being strong and concrete and getting things done, you know, male fashion stuff, stereotypes? but nonetheless, you have to decide which one of those energies you're dealing with. You also have to equate it a little bit to your parents and decide what the equality was between your parents' relationship and how much of you did you get from your mother, how much did you get from your father, and what form of your energy do you seem to be emulating as you live and breathe at this moment? Do you feel like more like your mom and her characteristics right now, or your father and his characteristics? This too is going to be a calling. Also, ask your dream world to center you into from a body zone to a astral zone, so that when you travel in your dreams, your soul, your astral body may take you to the location that you're meant to go to. So you might have a dream about the ocean. You might have a dream about the mountains. If you have a dream about the ocean and you drowned, go to the mountains. If you have a dream about the mountains and you fall off the cliff, go live in the ocean.
In the ocean.
Yeah.
Not literally.
Live on an island.
So what can she do at night before she's going to bed? I mean, this is also something she can do with the breath, activating the breath,
yep.
Maybe laying on her back and breathing into the third eye.
That's right. That's right. So you can ask your astral body to leave your body at night by getting prepared to astral project. You don't need to be trained to do that for nighttime. You just have to be ready and have a paper and pen handy. So if you do have a dream, you can write it down or something or retain it, and you can go that way. What do I know psychically about it? I don't know. You know, when I see the mountains, I see your name lights up. When I get to the ocean, I see your. But where did you spend 4 years living in one location?
Oh, it's always been somewhere in the Midwest, either Nebraska or Kansas.
And do you live for 4 year cycles in any one location? Have you ever done that?
I know for 1 4-year cycle in Lawrence, Kansas, and then I've lived longer for 4 years in different places in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kansas, is that flat and dry?
Yeah.
I mean, what was going on in Kansas during that
time?
Yeah,
it's flat and dry, just south of Nebraska. It's landlocked.
Okay. Well, we don't have time to go into the rich details of where you're going to go, but we do know you are moving. You're going to be moving soon, probably, but before September. But as to the state, demands more investigation and dialogue.
And just to note about the breath that you might want to utilize at night, it's a light breath internally towards the third eye. It's not like a heavy, deep, you know, over-labored breath. So that helps to activate that, Diane.
Okay, you said just before I go to bed?
Yeah, before you go to bed, when you're in bed laying there on your back, start breathing to
okay.
your third eye and you know, intend that you're going to astral project and, you know, perhaps have an experience that's
yeah.
going to answer your question.
And then,
in this
you know,
regard.
You can consciously direct your night flights by saying, I want to have a dream. Give me some revelation about where I'm going. Let my astral body take me to the location or visualize it and see what kind of dream you come up with. Dreams have to be interpreted. So don't take your dream on face value.
Yeah. Let us know. Call us back.
Okay. Will do. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome, Diane. Thank you so much. Okay, our next is 678. 678, good morning. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Do we have a
Julie.
Good connection?
Yeah,
yes,
it's
ma'am.
Hard to hear you. Can you talk right into that receiver for us, please?
I am trying to. I have terrible reception where I live. I live in the sticks.
Oh, no. Well, that's probably nice,
yes.
But not for phone reception, right?
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I bet. Where do you live? Where is your location?
I live in North Carolina. I live outside of Raleigh up on the lake.
Okay. And what's your birthday?
1/26/66.
Okay, 6/7/8.
I hope that's not the Styx River in Haiti that you're...
No, dear heart. Not in
oh,
this
good.
Lifetime, anyway.
Thank God. Okay.
What's your question?
You know, it's hard to put it in question form. I have had a lot of people through my life, but especially in the last 2 years, and I have had a great calling put upon my heart. And I'm just kind of unsure about what.
Okay.
I've had a lot of angelic assistance in the last 2 years. And see, I get so emotional because I am at a crossroads. Yeah, and I'm not sure what's going on yet because there's been so many changes. I've been told every day by my angels to rest and to reflect and to, you're exhausted, you need to just take it easy. And I think to myself, that's all I've been doing. I'm going out of my mind. But I understand its importance.
All right. Well, Neil, do you have anything to...
Julie, let me ask you something. Are there, in your background or in your family background, are there any teachers, anyone who ever taught public school or teaching, nursery school, anything?
Funny, not to my knowledge. I was the first person to graduate high school and the only one to go to college. But in first grade, I dressed up as a teacher. It was my first pick for a career.
Huh. Oh,
well, because you had a past life as a teacher. So this is getting interesting. In the first grade, you're about 6 years old. There's a strong five to 6 years old. There's a strong six in your birth date three times. You're 50 years old right now. So when you were trying to be a teacher in the first grade, aside from the fact that maybe you admired the teacher or you were just having a little dreamer about it, I believe you were connecting to a past life when you were a teacher.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So
I'm not surprised.
You're the only one high school, college. So education becomes part of your journey from that past life extension. Now, was there any pianos in the home at all?
No, sir.
So there were no pianos. Any musical instruments of any kind, music in the house?
I have always sang. There has always been the radio, and I've always done music. I've always sang. I was singing right before we came online, in fact.
Wow, that's probably okay. What it is.
So that's where it was. Okay. So we got a little bit of a shading in there. Now, point number two, Julie, have you ever had to connect to any kind of social work, either employment-wise or in a voluntary way, any kind of social work?
Yes.
And what was that?
And by connect to it, do you mean take advantage of the service? Because I have done that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes, I spent many years dealing with social workers.
Okay. So now I'm starting to collect a composite picture, well, fragmented picture maybe, of your psyche and your energy. Your tiredness probably is a extended learning energy field, maybe from one parent, maybe mother. I don't know. Someone may have had fatigue, maybe menopause, but there seems to be something that you've internalized from growing up. Was your mother a weary person? Was she tired a lot, or was it father?
Both of them. My mother especially. She worked three jobs to feed us. She was always tired.
Yeah. So what happened is you've just simply internalized her energy growing up. It's now in your cellular structure, and it's intermingling with whatever else you're bringing to the table. And so we've got this zone going on. But to me, it's a solid dream. It's solid, but it's still a dream and still dreamlike form, meaning you're not really tired. You're not really fatigued. You're not really stuck. But the formation of your upbringing and the attitude that you carry throughout the world become like solid tartar on your teeth. It's like, oh, I have tartar on my teeth. It's supposed to be there. No, it's there. It's strong. But it's there because for any number of reasons, but it's not natural. So where you're at right now is not really defined by your destiny. It's defined by what you've experienced, that it's become part
Oh, my. Hello? Hello, are you still there, dear?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear me, dear?
Can
you
I'm
hear
so
us?
Sorry there. Yes,
can
I
you hear
can.
Us? Okay, Julie,
thank
we
you.
Had a little outage for some reason, but what did you last hear?
That I wasn't really tired or stuck. But I've internalized that for so long.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right. So the transformation can't, of course, occur on the radio show today, but it's a preliminary.
It's the key that unlocks the knowledge so you can get out of it. Well, how to get out of it demands more dialogue.
Right.
You can do that on your own. But the enlightenment, what did you get your degree in college?
I was in nursing, and I am now in massage therapy.
Well, that's significant. You're a nurse because you see the attitude of nursing and massage therapy is all about changing the energy of the body or directing yourself against the body. So yeah, so you have a kind of soul body conflict going on in your own world. In spite of the fact that you've probably even internalized a lot of your patients. And in doing so, I find that a lot of therapists, nursing including, and massage therapists, they think they're getting rid of
the energy they're
working on, but they're not. It's staying in their etheric realm and it's fallout now. So the attitude of removing the energies that you're working on and getting them clear out of your etheric realm would be necessary. It's like tartar on teeth. You've got to remove that. And so that's got to be done more than just, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath.
And shield yourself with white light and so on and so forth. That doesn't work.
Won't work. That won't work.
But it is not working for me, and I couldn't understand why.
Huh?
Yeah.
She said it's not working for her, and she couldn't understand why, because it's trickier. I mean, it's like the topic today. It's trickier than just a simple, you know, a mantra or, physical exercises to get rid of etheric debris.
Yeah. And you've internalized, you're a helper. So you want to help. But at the cost of that, you've internalized so much of what you've done in terms of your helping energy that it's become a burden on you. You're like a bee that got pollen, and now you can't fly because there's so much pollen on your legs. You got to get it off. But to get it off is a whole energy. Now, your master number is 4, which is balance, but it's derived by 31, which is not divisible by 4. So you already have this karmic challenge of not having balance, which you have to find in life. You're 19 years past the age of 31, and you have to go back, Julie, and discover what were you doing at 19? It sounds like you might have been in college or schooling. But at that point in time, there would have been a change. There would have been some conflict.
Can you validate that?
There would
have
been a major change when I went to 19. I went into the Air Force. I was a videographer. I served my country and got out because they did not serve me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that.
See, because
it happens.
Well, what's happening, Julie, is that karmically you're giving out a lot and not getting enough nurturing back, which is probably your karmic dilemma that you have to give out because of a past life of taking. Now you're trying to change your energy around, you see, and you're trying to get to a different zone in this lifetime where you can reduce the karma by giving out, but now it's ready to receive. So the attitude of receiving is a different chapter of dialoguing. We can't do it on the show today, what it presents, Julie, is the beginning dialoguing that will actually help you understand how to get rid of this extended karma and find some fulfillment.
Julie, you're always welcome to call the show again, or you can call 562-596-7818 after the show. But hopefully this is somewhat helpful to you.
It is amazingly helpful. Thank you, and so many blessings back to you both.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we invite you to follow us on Facebook or on Twitter and here on Blog Talk Radio as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I will. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay. 856 is our next. I believe this is someone we know. Gwendolyn.
Hey. Hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen. How are you today?
Hey. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Good. Doing
she
well.
Wait just a moment, Gwendolyn. 626. 69. She's a 39-12-3. What's new?
Well, I'll tell you, I've mastered my personal life mission. And it
wow,
is
that's a lot.
Oh yes. I had to push on and I understand that it's a completion type of year. And the breathing and the being. That for me seemed to have been the mastering point, to learn to be, to learn to do for me. And I believe that there's many, many of us here who need to master that or needed to. And for me, it's been so liberating, so freeing. I just cannot thank both of you enough, honest to goodness. So
but
really, I'll tell you. I knew I found some kind of home base when I found you. So yes. So really now for me, I believe that the mission here for me is just to complete and help people learn how to love themselves, love each other. And, of course, Ron and I, we have matched our third eyes. They both go off together. We can see the same things in our third eyes. It's actually fun. So there's been a lot of growth and me actually stepping into and accepting the fact that I'm a light being and that I am here for a purpose and owning that freely, openly. So that's been quite the journey for me. And
that's
looking
cool.
Back...
That's great, Gwendolyn.
Go ahead. So for me, I've had so many synchronicities and so many affirmations come lately in the past couple of weeks, and it's so strong, it's almost as if my connection with the cosmos, it's almost like a gas pump right into a car tank. It's like a direct connect, and it's amazing. It's been all, it's overwhelming at times, and for me, I really just want to see humanity shift, and I know I'm here for that mission, and I really do want to just go and be, again, with the divine. That's my personal feel for me here. I don't prefer to come back, and I know that I'm not coming back. So I don't know, Neil, what do you have on the numbers? I know I've made it. I made it over that personal mission. It's a global mission now.
Yeah, Gwendolyn, you're like the former caller, you have strong sixes in your energy. You're both born on the same day as a former caller, and you both have three sixes in your energy. Your master number is three, which is the mystical energy. Well, it's the stomach, but it's got a mysticism in it, being the third chakra. And the eye of the navel is really because of the birth energy of how you received nurturing from within the womb. So it becomes a strong energy field of three, not to mention it's triangular and mystical and pyramid and all that. Threes have so many added connotations of mysticism that it's an incredible, enriching, mysterious number. Now, in your element of being, because your master number is three and you have three sixes, you also have, therefore, three threes, which comes to nine. Nine is the eternal number. It continuously reinvents itself over and over again in its multiples because of that energy, 18, 27, 36, 50. It's more than just a game of numbers. What it means is nine becomes this eternal element. So when we go into numerical definition about a nine, we're talking about the overlapping energies of life and the continual transcendent energy. Here's a perfect example, Gwendolyn. You're talking about how you're connecting to the cosmos and the affirmations and the energy of the earth having this wonderful spiritual ceiling of energy around it. Well, that's the content of your vision. And the content of your vision is rooted to your soul and your spirit. And your soul and your spirit saying, okay, I've come back to the planet. I've got all this karma, obviously, I have to deal with. But I'm not going to lose my breath of conscious spiritual energy. So you are demonstrating, Gwendolyn, that as you live in the world like we all do, and we all have to wake up and survive every day that we live and have our trials and tribulations, that you can still breed spiritual dialogue. That's what's very important, that human beings can get past the attitudes of the earth and express a higher definition of what it means to be a human being in relation to the cosmos. So you've done that. Continue that work. You're 46 years old. You've gone through 15 wonderful cycles so far of your master number, and you have more to go. When you get to the idea of 16 cycles, which will be 48, you're going to be having another mind expansion episode, which involves a strong essence of spirituality. So you're climbing towards that step in the next 2 years.
Because of her 1969, right?
Yeah, 1969
is a 16-7.
And then 48 will be a multiple of 3.
And she's actually in her 15th cycle right now, and that's in her 69. So
yeah,
she's on that transcendent side of
that's
her birth,
right. That's right.
Okay, Gwendolyn, well, hopefully that gives you some insight today.
Sure it does. Thank you very much. Have a great day, Dua. Take care.
You're right. Thank you.
Okay, 203 is our next. And they've been
here for a while. Hi, this is Pat.
Oh, hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. 71253.
And she's compounded.
1953?
Yes, yes. What's new?
Well, the last time I spoke with you, you talked about this move to this new apartment is like, I don't know, like, It was very important. I can't remember the term that you used. And it's been a struggle. I just want to see where you see me going in general.
Are you still, what's your job situation currently?
I'm doing CNA part-time. It's very...
Not live-in?
No, not live-in. I couldn't find that, so I got an apartment. And that's, you know, a worry of being able to afford that. And I still want to get my portrait painting business going. I'm looking into a couple of other part-time jobs. I just don't, you know, everything's very, very scattered.
Well, the one aspect of when you have a scattered world, what you want to do, and it might be a little bit problematic for you, but if you have a scattered world, first go inside and figure out how not to be scattered in your thinking. So you have a direct link to your breath and your heart. So first of all, what you want to do is say to yourself, you know what, my world is scattered. It's too much.
Hello? Hello?
Ah.
Hi, back disconnected.
Can you hear us? No, you're still connected. Can you hear
no,
us
I
now?
Hear you. Yeah.
No, it wasn't you, yeah. It was us. I think there was a little interruption in the internet flow. So you were still there, but we were not getting through to you. Go ahead, Neil.
So what you want to do, I don't know what you heard, Pat, but when the world is so scattered and you can't get a grip on it, the first thing you've got to do is then say, okay, I can't, there's too much going on. I feel it's too scattered. So you go inside. You go inside and you find the centeredness of your being. That's the fourth chakra. So you just start thinking to yourself, okay, I got to breathe and be connected to my heart, my centered energy. I'm grounded. I'm here on the planet. So I know that. I'm still subject to gravity. My feet are anchored to this earth. So I'm here. Point two, I'm a female. I know who I am. I've got my name down. I know my social security number. I've got an identity. Okay. Three, I'm eating. I got food. I'm breathing.
Okay.
Good. I'm breathing.
Okay.
And you go up the chakra system like that, Pat, to make sure that you're not scattered. And if you find in the chakra system with its relative themes that you are scattered, stop at that chakra and then and clear it. Get rid of the clutter. So we, you know, we think people say, oh, you know, your life is so mixed up. You need to clean out your closet. Your house is too cluttered. Ah, I don't know about that. What I do know is that your insides can be cluttered. And that's more important to me than having a cluttered room. Cluttered rooms aren't good. But what's more important is, are we cluttered inside? And if we have clarity inside, which we can remove without a lot of arm muscle, but by sheer breath and determination of thought, then you get more clarity. Now you're putting out an energy field that has clarity from within. And as you put out energy field from clarity within, you send out a zone of energy that says, I'm a clear person. I only allow clarity around me. And that vibration will soon push out the confusion. I don't know. That's what I would say to you in regard to this brief radio pep talk. You know, aside from going deeper into investigating what other energies are around you that might be more of value for you to hear, but at least this is where we can start.
Okay.
You know,
I know why things are going in all different directions. It's part of my journey right now. I would just like to get an idea of what you see is my next step, what's happening, what's coming in.
So you're looking for a more concrete answer, briefly,
yeah.
Because we've got two other callers and we've got to accommodate them.
Two things, Pat. Your portrait painting is forthcoming. So you've got to get clear. You've got to get clear for your portrait painting because that's forthcoming. And you're going to be making a sustainable income on that. It's going to be a nice income. And you're going to have fun doing it. And you're going to bring out the essence in your portrait painting to show the energy of your subjects. So it's going to be, you know, entertaining, enlightening, and artistic. So that's what I would say would be the first thing that I see going for you, and start clearing up the clutter so you can get to that most significant thing.
And anything else before we move on?
Well, you know,
did you say there was a second thing?
The move in her energy, there's going to be another kind of job shift going on, but that's going to take more time to investigate.
Okay, you can call back on another show, Pat. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, 860.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Amy.
Oh, hi, Amy.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
12-16-73, right?
You got it, yeah.
Okay, what's going on?
Basically, it's... I don't know, Neil can tell me, because it's been... I've had to really cut ties with some friendships, and I know it's for my eyes good, and I'm patiently basically cleaning out my house and from top to bottom, on all levels. So wondering if there's anything, the light at the end of the tunnel. It's been just been so difficult, and I know I'm almost there. It's like the chaos before the miracle.
So your question is regarding whether these ties that have been cut with your friends is...
Yes.
And when is that occurring? Was that recent?
Very recent. It was the weekend. And I'm done. I'm setting healthy boundaries. I'm taking self-care. And it's never about the other person. It's about my growth. And that's what I'm learning for myself. So I know I'm on the cusp of meeting my tribe, you know, my friends that really care about me. So I'm wondering if he sees anything with that.
Well, I mean, you're in the 14th cycle of your master number, which is 3. So, I mean, it's not surprising there are changes that are going on.
Okay.
Right? Isn't she 14th of master 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14 cycles.
And she turned 42 in December.
Yeah.
43.
In
what year are you born?
73.
No. Yeah. But you're turning 43 this year. You turned 42 in 2015. That's what we're, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2015, let's back up. 2015, you turned 42, which is your 14th cycle of your master number three. So you're within that first year currently.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Amy.
Go ahead. Yes. Hello? Hello?
We need a better internet setup. Let's put her on again.
I'm here. I'm here. Got it.
Hi, you can hear us. Okay, sorry, because we're having in the internet, I think, that's giving us some lag time. So it's your life goes in cycles of three, which is your master number. So in December, you turned 42, which is the beginning of your 14th cycle of your master number, and that's signifies change. Usually you can mark changes at the time the master number cycles. And you're saying that you're having some disruption in your life with your friends. So that could be concurrent with this cycle that, I mean, it is concurrent with this cycle. It's within that year. So Neil, do you want to add some further?
Well, in
thoughts
your,
on that?
No, that's great. In your attitude of finding, you know, the tribal connections are an attitude of past life tribe and then transcendent tribe. Our past life tribes, sometimes it's difficult to remove ourselves from them, and sometimes it's not even necessary. But when you have betrayal or a non-nurturing tribal zone and you have to remove yourself from it, then what you have to understand is how to make that transition. And in many regards, we go through a wasteland. We go through a wilderness when we move ourselves from a tribe. Some of us are lucky and we're received immediately from a tribe. But a lot of us, it takes a little bit of a transition to do that. Now, I don't know, was there any alcohol problem people in your past or your surrounding people? Anybody had a drinking problem, even a drinking problem where they became nasty when they drank?
I dated a guy, this is years ago, maybe 10, 11 years ago, who was an alcoholic, but that's it. That's the only drinker that I know of.
Yeah, but you see, that was when you were 30. So
basically
when you were 30, so that was removal of a tribal zone because your karmic number's 30. So I just wanted to jump back that to that time zone to figure something out. You're going to be meeting five people. There are five people in your upcoming tribe. I don't know if you had like four or five people or maybe four to six people in this other tribe that you've released yourself from. How many members were in that group?
That sounds about right, Neil. That sounds exactly right. Five or six. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're going to be lucky, Amy, in that you're going to meet somebody, they have their people. You're going to be embraced by this new tribe. It's going to be a wonderful energy. I do see you forthcoming going to a retreat or a mountain with some females, friendly based, and you have this heart union with them. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be males involved, but for some reason, I see you in a circle with these females. Maybe I'm going back to a past life that will manifest once again. But there's something in that zone. I do want you, as you approach this new tribal people that you don't quite know who they are, I want you to surround yourself with bird song. Birds, birds, birds. Look at birds, listen to birds. Be involved with birds for a while.
The five, is that because of the 1-6?
No,
tribal?
It was just a vision.
So it was just a vision.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the numbers there.
Okay. Okay. Well, Amy, and please do follow us on Facebook. Have you joined us there yet?
What's it again? I'm so sorry. What's it again?
That's okay. We just we definitely appreciate those who call the show regularly to follow us. It is it's linked on Blog Talk Radio, so you can find it there.
Okay, let me go on right now and just do it. Definitely.
We would love that, Amy. Thank you so much, and take care. Hopefully that's helpful to you.
That was. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Gosh, we're having such a problem with this internet today. Yeah, well, there's one more caller. It's going to be a brief reading because we need to stop relatively close to on time. We have 3 minutes. So, hi, who's this?
I don't know if you're talking to me or not. I'm not sure how this works.
We are talking to you. Maybe you didn't hear the unmute. Who's this?
Okay. Okay, I've never called in. I just randomly called in last minute because I got the invite on Facebook.
Oh, great.
So I don't...
Well, we appreciate you. Coming, who's this? What's your name?
My name's Lizbeth.
Okay. Hi, Lizbeth. Lizbeth. L-I-Z-B-E-T-H? Hi.
It's L-I-S-B-E-T-H.
Oh, I'm sorry. L-I-S-B-E-T-H.
It's okay, everybody. People think all kinds of different things for my name, so no problem.
Me too. I have the same problem, actually. So L-I-S-B-E-T-H. And what is your birth date, Lizbeth?
10/29/79.
Huh. Okay. And so first time calling, 9, 10, 11, 12, 22, 16, 38, 11, 2. Is that right? Did I add that up wrong? Okay. What is your question?
I don't know if I even have a specific question. I guess I'm just wondering if there's anything that you guys pick up for me. The two main things that I kind of am focusing on or thinking about lately are my career and my relationship. So if anything comes up for either one of those.
All right.
Well, it's pretty obvious that you'd be asking that because your master number, Elizabeth, is 2.
11.
It's based on 38,
right.
11 equals 2. And that's the sexual reproductive relationship energy. You're born on the 29th, which is another 2, 11, 2.
Oh,
so
wow.
You got a lot
of
thought
about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you had a change. You had a change around the age of 38, which the change in there.
I will
might
have a change coming.
She's not.
Oh, you're
not.
How old are you?
She's
right
37.
Now?
So her change is coming in
your
a year.
Your change is coming. Your change is coming.
Okay.
You're going to have a major change
at 38.
Which involves a spiritual relationship, loving wise.
Okay.
So there's
okay.
going to
so
be
I mean,
a spiritual, yeah, there's going to be a spiritual relationship loving-wise. And I don't mean to probe or be disrespectful, but have you lost 10 or 15 pounds in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I actually, like, had this real big problem where I was, like, hanging on to weight. I think I was, like, energetically protecting myself against stuff, and I basically blew up and I lost some of the weight. And then in the last 6 months, I lost the rest. So
wait, we just
it
got the warning. So say that again. You, in the last 6 months, you lost how much?
The last 10 to 15 pounds that were lingering on my body. Like, I finally got rid of them.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what
exactly
I was,
it.
That's what I was getting. So, that energy that I was experiencing is part of the zone of part of the zone that I was experiencing has to do with that. You're validating it. So that loss of those pounds coming up to your age of 38, we're getting closer and closer and closer towards a relationship. It's going to be a loving relationship, a nice relationship. I think it has a zone of a connection. It's nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's got
okay.
elements of travel in it and beauty and design and all that. There might be some past life, not past life, but in this lifetime, a divorce, maybe your parents, maybe you, but I get a divorce somewhere. Were your parents divorced?
Probably going to be me. I think it's probably going to be me because, so yeah, I almost got divorced already and I left somebody, I moved to another state and then we ended up back together, but there's still some lingering issues and I'm moving to Arizona. I'm supposed to move to Arizona. That's another thing. I'm kind of like not sure if I should stay where I am or go to Arizona. But I feel that if I do go to Arizona, because I'm actually a psychic as well, and so I live in the country in Illinois, and with what I do here, it just isn't working. So I feel that being in Arizona near Sedona, being able to fly to LA, to San Francisco, San Diego, like, you know, Portland, it'll be so much easier if I'm there rather than where I am now. And I have a feeling once I go there, things are just going to open up, and then whatever whoever you're talking about is probably, I'm probably going to end up meeting this person when I go there, not here.
Yeah. It sounds like a workable plan. You know, I'm sorry to say, but there might be that divorce coming. And then the move to Arizona. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some challenges, but that's life. But I think in the big picture, it's an area of advancing forward, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it.
Thank
I'm glad you were able to catch us at the end. And come back soon.
Whenever you guys send an invite, I'll listen in.
Yeah, I'll try to keep you on. You know, we have a limit on the number of invites I can send because of Facebook.
Okay.
So I try to include people, but we're on the air Wednesdays and Fridays, and because I like to you know, spread the word to people who don't know, if I don't include you, you're welcome to come.
Okay, great. Do you have a fan page too on Facebook?
Neil Baker Psychic. You're on our friends list, right?
I think I might be. Yeah, if I'm getting an invite, I must be. So I'll keep
you
a look on your page.
Yeah, right, and then there's
Neil
Baker Psychic. You can like that as well. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, we're back on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks for joining us. Bye.